after a whole book of narrative, Bereshit, and Shemot, which till now has been primarily narrative, even though some laws got stuck into it, the laws that were stuck in were primarily laws that somehow got woven into the narrative. Now finally in Parashat Mishpatim, we have law after law after law after law. Three chapters which deal, Perek Kaf Aleph, Kaf Bet, Kaf Gimel, which deal primarily of law. Next week it gets worse, because not only law, next week we get boring law. We get law about the, unless you like architecture and such things. Next week we start moving towards building the Mishkan and so on. And then we have Perek Kaf Dalid, which we spoke about last year, so we're not going to speak about it this year. Perek Kaf Dalid dealing with the preparation, either for Sinai or for something else. But I want to focus on a couple of psukim at the very end of Kaf Gimel, where I have a suspicion about these psukim, but before we get to my suspicion, let's read. So it's Perek Kaf Gimel, Pasuk Kaf, it's the first source. Hine anochi shaleach malach lefanecha, I'm going to send either an angel, an emissary in front of you, l'shmorcha b'derech, to guard you along the way, and bring you to the place which I've prepared for you. Basically, listen to him. He's not going to tolerate your silliness, your sins. And my name is in his midst. Because you listen to what he says and everything which I speak. I will be an enemy to your enemies, and to those that hurt you, I will hurt them. Because my malach will go in front of you. So again, what we're going to have over here is we're going to go into the land and going to get rid of the people that are there. And so on and so forth. A little bit further. Pasukav Zayin et imatia shalach lefanecha, send my awe in front of you. V'hamoti et kol ha'am asher tavo bahem, v'natati et kol evech alecha oref, v'shalachti et atzira lefanecha, v'gersha et achivi et aknani et achiti v'milfanecha, lo agershenu miponecha b'shana echad. They're not going to leave immediately. Pentia ha'aretz shamima, because that would be bad for the land, and then if it's desolate, all kinds of wild beasts will come in. Instead, it's going to be very, very slow. So all this is said, again, getting back to context, we had 2.5 chapters of Mishpatim, of various laws that were taught. The laws themselves that we saw were to a very great extent an extension of the Aseret HaDibrot. Your homework, if you choose, is to take the Aseret HaDibrot, line them up, and then go through Parsha Mishpatim and take a look where each one of the laws there fits into the Aseret HaDibrot, and you'll have a great deal of success when you try that. And then we get to this section right over here. So the Mechilta says, Hinei nochi shaleach malach, and source to lepanecha, Zenavi. That's a prophet. What would make the Mechilta say that the Malach is a prophet, and what the Navi and what the Mechilta is really saying is, what is a Malach? So now you can say a Malach is something with wings and so on, and you know it's an angel, or you can say a Malach is an emissary of God. So what is an emissary of God? So the Mechilta is saying a Navi is an emissary of God. And over here, the Mechilta, if you were to ask me, is focusing more on the words like ki shmi bikirbo, ki im shemoa tishma bikolo, vasita kol asher adaber. It's focusing on, and saying, no, the Malach, we're not talking about an angel, it's a person. The Ibn Ezra has interpretations that he doesn't like, which, if you've read a bit of the Ibn Ezra, you'll be used to that by now. He likes to bring interpretations that he doesn't like. Hinei enochi amar Hashem lemoshe, sheyomar gam zeli Yisrael, to tell the people, ki im yikablenu kol advarim v'mishpatim mitchilat atem re'item, if you're going to accept all the mishpatim from the pasuk you saw that God spoke from heaven, as yivim el ha'aretz, which is really the focus. Right? Then we will come to the land. God will bring us land. V'rabim hishtabshu bazeh, many people have misunderstood this section, this malach. Yesh omrim, some say, ki ha-malach sefer Torah. That the malach is the sefer Torah. Why? Bavur kishmi bikurbo, because it says my name is in its midst. Vacharav omru, and others say, acherim omru, others say, aron habrit. It's talking about the aron. Upirshu v'shema b'kolo akatuvbo. Listen to what it says inside of it. V'kol eile divrei ruach. And all of these statements are divrei ruach. We heard nonsense. You don't want to say hot air. That sounds more... Ki kol ha-Torah v'amikra mili'im mizeh hatam. Because if you paid attention to the Chumash, as much as some want to move away from what he thinks is pshat. So now, let me just ask you, what's pshat? It says, I'm going to send a malach. What's pshat? What's pshat? It's a malach. And then the Ibn Ezra goes and he quotes a half a dozen or so places where a malach means a malach. Ha-malach ha-goeloti, v'yishlach malach v'yotim v'mitzrayim, u-malach panav hoshi'eim, and so on and so forth. Rabim ke'ele. Ki im Michael sarchem, hu nekre gadol, and so on and so forth, towards the end of the Ibn Ezra. V'zeh ha-malach hu Michael. So not only does he tell us that it's a malach, he even tells us the name of the malach. Who's the name of the malach? It's Michael. What does Michael stand for? Mika amcha Yisrael. So, okay. So Michael is the angel who represents the Jews. That's Michael. The same way that we've come across that Esav has a sarashal Esav. There's an angel of Esav. There's an angel. This is the angel who looks out for the Jews. Lishmorcha b'derech, to guard you along the way. That nothing bad should happen to you. And if you start thinking about it, this really sounds very much like the Anane Yakovod that we have. Right? The Anane Yakovod is there. It takes them out. It accompanies them. It takes care of them and guards them and prepares the way and so on. Lishmorcha b'derech. Well, the only thing is they don't have a Torah. Well, whether they have it yet, that's part of the problem. So far, what we've had is a number of different interpretations. In Sefer Yoshua, and we can either look at Yoshua first or the Rashbam first, you can decide which one you want to look at. Let's look at the Rashbam, then we'll more reason to look at Sefer Yoshua. Shaleach Malach, I'm going to send an angel, Kidichtiv, Yoshua, as it says in Yoshua. So let's just take a look in Yoshua, because he says that's what we're talking about. V'hiba yot Yoshua b'yericho, v'yisa eina, v'yarvine ish omed l'negdo, v'charbo shlufa b'yado. Now that's a scary thing to see. He sees a person standing, he doesn't know who this person is. Person is standing and looks like a formidable foe, and the person has a sword which is drawn in front of him. Vayelech Yoshua elav, but Yeshua, who is a brave person, Yeshua is the one who goes and fights against Amalek. Yeshua goes and he heads him off and he says, Vayomer lo, halanu atam letzareinu. Like basically, are you with us or you're against us? Vayomru lo, ki ani sartzeva Hashem. Right? He says, I'm on a mission from God. No, what he says is, ani sartzeva Hashem. I am in God's army. I am in the army of Hashem. In a very, very literal sense. Sar tzava Hashem ata bati. And now, I've come. It was time for me to show up now. Now, the context where we're reading, I'm going to send someone along the way, help you conquer the land. The context here is conquering the land. So therefore, the Rashbam, again, always wants to tell us what he believes to be absolute pshat. He says, yeah. And when they get to the land, this guy is going to show up. But you pull Yeshua al-Panav, and now you're going to immediately notice a parallel to this, which perhaps you did not know, and the only reason you didn't know it is because you never bothered to read Yeshua. But you pull Yeshua al-Panav, he bows down, meaning what message do you have? Hashem el Yoshua, shal na alchame al raglecha ki amakom asher ata omed ata kadosh. You take your shoes off your feet, the place that you're standing is holy. Vayas Yeshua came and Yeshua did this. And by the way, that's the end. That's the whole thing. But he basically shows up and says, I'm here. So as the conquest will take place, we have our angel, this malach, who's there. So the Rashbam is saying, you don't have to work so hard. Later on in Scripture, we're going to meet this malach who's going to be there and going to be this somehow shliach of God in order to help us in the conquest. And it's pshat. Right. So what's Baderech? We would have thought, especially where we're up to, where we're very Chumash-centric, so therefore we would have thought that Baderech is in the desert. And over here, Baderech means this path that you're taking until the conquest is complete. But again, I do want to stress that over here in Perek Kaf Gimel, if you go back to the first source, that is the context. The context is capturing the land. Right, and it's talking about the conquest. And not only that, it says the conquest is not going to be immediate, it's going to be slow. So all this is right here, which means we are stuck in Sefer Shemot right now, and later on we're going to get stuck in Bamidbar and Devarim, and we're going to have 40 years go by, but the Chumash over here is talking about this conquest. So, Rashi, in source number 6, Hine Enochi Shaleach Malach, Rashi writes, Kan Nitbasru She'atidin Lichto. At this moment, they were informed that they were going to sin. The Shechina Omeret Lehem, and the Shechina says to them, Ki Lo He'ele Bikirbecha, that I will not be in your midst. Now I wanna pause over here for a moment, and I wanna remind you of a couple of things, and I wanna read more into this Rashi than he's saying, and I admit this that I'm gonna say more than he's saying, and more than that, I'll say he's not saying what I'm about to say, but I don't know why he just didn't go further. There is this problem that we did deal with last year, and I think 2 years ago as well, and that is this whole problem of the context of Parshat Mishpatim, which means when exactly are Perek Kaf Aleph, Kaf Bet, and Kaf Gimel said. That's the problem that we have. Now, Rashi tells us later on that we actually have the Rashi here someplace. We have the Rashi by source number 11. Source number 10 is Perek Lamed Aleph. Perek Lamed Aleph ends, well, Vayitain, the last pasuk there, Vayitain el Moshe kechalatolo de berito bahar Sinai, shnei luchot ha'edut, luchot evin ketuvim be'etzba Elokim. That at the end of Moshe being up by Har Sinai, God gives him the luchot. Rashi, Vayitain el Moshe, here's the famous statement, if you're looking for it, here is where Rashi says it, Ein mukdamu muchar b'torah. The Torah is not given in its proper sequence. Ma'ase ha'egel kodin lutzivoy mishk, malechet ha'mishkan, Yamim Rabim Haya, that the eagle took place long before the instructions to build the Mishkan. And then he starts to get into some of the math. Sherebi Shavasa Batamuz Nishabaru Luchot, on the 17th of Tammuz Luchot were broken. Yom Kippur Nitrat Sakadish Baruch Hu Yisrael, God forgave them on the Yom Kippur. Ulamachritit Chil Benidvat HaMishkan V'hukam Be'echad B'nisan, and it wasn't built to Echad B'nisan. Now, I want to pause here for a second and try to make this very, very clear. After last week, we ended the Aseret HaDibrot. God is still speaking. We say, stop. We say, Moshe, you speak. And then it flows into Ve'ela Mishpatim. Three chapters of Ve'ela Mishpatim. Fourth chapter goes back to something which is, again, a Har Sinai story, and Moshe goes up. Sequence over here is very important. According to the Ramban, and this we did in depth last year, it's exactly how it's written. People don't want to hear anymore. Moshe then is told by God, Ve'ela Mishpatim. The three chapters are said before Moshe goes up. Moshe says it to the people, sort of ruined V'naseh V'nishma, because they said it after they've already heard all of Parashat Mishpatim. And then Moshe goes up for 40 days and 40 nights. According to the Ramban then, what's taught over those 40 days and 40 nights? The very next pasuk, what? Truma and Tetzaveh. So what's taught? To build the Mishkan. Now, what did Rashi just now tell us? The building of the Mishkan is only afterwards. It's meaning the instruction to build the Mishkan is not the next thing which is said. Quite the opposite. He's saying that this is the way it happened. People get the Ten Commandments. They say to Moshe, don't speak to us anymore. Moshe goes up for 40 days and 40 nights. What does God tell him during those 40 days and 40 nights? Ve'ela mishpatim. So you basically have two different stories and two different imaginations of what was it that Moshe was learning up on top of the mountain. Rashi, who we'll call the Rosh Yeshiva, he's learning basically Noshim and Nezikin, but primarily Nezikin. He's learning the Yeshiva Shemeth Sechtos, which you have to admit is very, very amusing, but that's what he's learning. That's what Mishpatim is. So what does God teach Moshe? What's his imagination? What God is teaching Moshe up on the mountain? He's teaching him Nezikin. He's teaching him Baba Mitzia, Baba Basra, Baba Kama, right? That's what most of the stuff is over here. So that's what Rashi's imagination is, what's being taught. The Ramban, who is our Kabbalist, what does the Ramban imagine is being taught up on the mountain? The instructions to building the Beit HaMikdash, how to get close to God. If you want, you could say he's learning Kachim, but he's not learning Kachim. It's not Kachim that he's learning. He's learning really about the Beit HaMikdash, which God is showing Moshe up on the mountain. So again, what should really be interesting about this, because again, right, and according to the Ramban, the building of the that's the whole point. It's separate, it's independent, and which means what you have over here, and again, this is what I want to stress, what you have over here is a completely different curriculum which is being learned up between this chavrusa between God and Moshe. So according to Rashi, he's learning Parsha Mishpatim. According to the Ramban, he's learning Truma and Tetzaveh. Okay? So I want to go back to Rashi now. This is Parsha Mishpatim is what he's learning on the mountain. So we get to this point, I'm going to send a malach. I would go further than Rashi went. I would say that this pasuk is being said as they're sinning down below. Not that they're going to sin, but this pasuk is being said as they're sinning. As they're sinning, God says, I'm going to send a malach. Which means when we read this by itself, how did it sound? Right over here, where did Rashi come from by giving this a negative connotation? We read it in the Mechilta, okay, I'm going to send a Navi. We read even the opinions that Ibn Ezra didn't like, the opinion of the Rashbam, I'm going to send the Malach, I'm going to send... So what's the problem? I mean, it didn't sound bad. And Rashi over here has like this terrible premonition, and I stress premonition, something bad is going to happen. Read the words, Kanit Basrusha Atidin Lechto. Now the fact of sin becomes this possibility. I mean, you're right, they didn't sin yet, but it's a possibility. But again, I want to go much further. Why? It's the content over here. And there's really one pasuk which is missing, which Rashi read into it. Look what Rashi read into this. Read Rashi again, source 6. Hinei anochi shleach malach, kanit pesusha atidin lichtov, vishchina omerit lahem. Now, where is he quoting from? He's quoting from Perek Lamed Gimel. What's Perek Lamed Gimel? Look at source number 9. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe. What's the content? The context. This is after, right? This is right after the Chayta Egel when God says, I'm going to destroy them and so on. And Moshe prays not to destroy them, make you, right? Vayidaber Hashem Moshe lech alei mizeh. Tava am asher halita me'er Tzitzrayim. Right? Your people that you took out of Egypt. El aretz asher nishbat el Avraham l'tzok el Yaakov l'ima l'zarechat nena. Which means, okay, fine. I'm going to keep my promise. I'm going to give them land. And it all sounds good still. V'shalachti lefanecha malach. I'm going to send a malach in front. That sounded good, right? And all of that sounded pretty good. I'm going to get rid of all the nations. But I will not be in your midst. Which means here we suddenly hear this terrible message that this good news that we're getting a malach leading us is because God is now subcontracting and saying, because I'm not going to be in your midst. Why won't I be in your midst? And he says, ki am kshe oref ata, because you are a stiff-necked people. By the way, it's a term that we're so used to hearing, but it's a term which is only used, as far as I can tell, in context of the sin of the golden calf. You are a stiff-necked people, ki am kshe oref ata, pen achelcha badarech. Because if I'm in your midst and you keep messing up, I'm going to swallow you up, and therefore this can't work this way. Which means this wonderful news that a malach is going to be taking you is actually not wonderful news. Matter of fact, the people didn't take it that well. And the people heard this and they mourned. By the way, it's also interesting, of all the times they messed up in the desert, I only recall two times that it says vayitablu, that they mourned in response to this and response to the punishment from the Chetam Araglim. That's where we find mourning comes in. Veloshatu ish ed yo'alav, and they could not put their jewelry upon them. Vayomar Hashem Moshe Amor b'nei Yisrael atem am kshe oref rega chad ele bikibrecha v'chiliticha. Right, in a second I can swallow you up. Take off that jewelry. And they took off the luster, the jewelry, whatever it was, physical, spiritual, that they had from Har Sinai. So this is what Rashi just now read into source number 6. I'm sending an angel. Sounds great. Because I will not be in your midst. Mainly, there's going to be a malach instead. Which is why I'm going to say it again. I would go further than Rashi went over here. And I wouldn't say, sha'atidin lichto. Rather, if we go to our split screen right now, the split screen is, it's at this point where maybe they haven't completed the chet yet, but it's, what would the right word be? As a chet is festering. As it's festering below, it's that there's the murmuring going on, and where's Moshe, and maybe they're collecting the gold already, and maybe the plan is there, maybe even they're making the egel at this point. What I'm saying is, I'm just following Rashi. I'm saying, this is the third time I'm going to say it. I'm following Rashi to the conclusion that Rashi was not, for whatever reason, not willing to go that far, and say atidin lichto, the gunnison. No, this is happening. This whole speech is while Moshe's on the mountain. This is the end of the speech. So maybe this is happening right now while they're sitting. And the next thing that God says to him, according to Rashi, would be Lech Reid, go down, because they've made a calf. So if we look at source number 7, Rashi can defend himself. There's a midrash in Shemot Rabbah. Hine Enochi Shaleach Malach. You like it? It won't even say what it is. Had they waited and not done that thing that they did, they never would have been exiled. They never would have malach hamavet. Continue a little bit more. Mechtav Elokim hu cheirut aluchot, ma cheirut, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemia, Rabbi Yehuda Odmer, cheirut min galiyot, Rabbi Nechemia, Omer cheirut mi malach hamavet. Bisha sha'om Yisrael, kol asher diber Hashem naseh v'nishma, Omer Kodesh Baruch Hu, Adam HaRishon tzivitav mitzvah achad kedei sheyikamenu, v'oshivitu l'malchei Hashareit. I wanted to make Adam like one of the Malchei Hashareit, that there would be no death. Shenemar hein Adam achad, So the main thing I want to stress here is this midrash, which is interpreting, I'm sending a malach. This is the malach in Mishpatim. It puts in the middle of this, here's the malach, and the ends of here's the malach. I wanted so much more. God is over here sharing, and he's saying, I wanted to accomplish so much more with Matan Torah, and essentially you guys ruined this completely. Had you never done that unspeakable thing, which he won't say what it is even, but we all know what the unspeakable thing is. If you've never made that egel, then you would have been completely transformed. If you never made the egel, you would have been like Adam HaRishon before the sin. Adam HaRishon before the sin, there was no death in the world. I wanted you to be, and here's what's interesting. The closest it can say, I want you to be like one of the angels of heaven, which follow the will of God. I mean, I wanted you to be the angels, to follow the will of God, to live forever. And look what you've done. You've completely ruined everything, which essentially God is complaining. This is the second time that you've done this. You did this back in the Garden of Eden. You ruined the plan then. You've ruined the plan now. And now I have to go and send a malach, because it sounds now very interesting. Again, this is all the midrash. What is it saying? It's essentially saying I have to send a malach, because who's no longer a malach? Because you're no longer like malachim. Again, go to the other interpretation. What does malach mean? Emissaries of God. What happens when we sin? We're no longer emissaries of God. What have we done? We've basically turned around to God and said, we don't want to be your emissary. We'd rather worship a golden calf. So if we're no longer the malachim, so now what does God need to do? He needs to send us a malach instead. But again, what we see over here is that the midrash that Rashi has open in front of him, among others, is absolutely connecting this passage over here with the Chet HaEgel and the terrible ramifications. Now, there's a quick statement of the Maharal in source number 8. We'll see exactly why he's doing it. The answer is because he saw the Ramban, which we will soon see, and he's defending Rashi against the Ramban, but you don't know that. He says, "Kandit baser afo gav shemosha bitel kvar gzerazot." He says, hold it a second. After God said this, Moshe davened and God rescinded. Source number 8. After God said this, I'm going to send the Malach, Moshe prayed and God said, okay. He backs off on this. Afo gav shemosha bitel kvar gzerazot, shenemar v'im ayin in panecha holchim v'chule, mikol makom b'shat bo'am la'aretz b'mei Yeshua ho'yosholeach malach. So it's a very interesting thing that the Maharal says over here, but we'll see exactly, we'll see the Ramban, because all that he's really doing is he's really quoting the Ramban, both in the question and the answer. We'll see that in a second. Charlotte. So the Medrash actually is really interesting, because we normally don't get this peek at what does God look at this, and what does God have to say, what's God's side of this. And God's side of this is one of disappointment, one of withdrawal. But by the way, it's not absolute withdrawal. It's not that saying, okay, fine, I'm leaving this universe, right? God is not a deist, right? As funny as that sounds. God is not, right? God did not create the world and abandon it. But God is saying that just think about this comparison. The comparison is very interesting, and it's one that I think I've hinted at along the way, all of Sefer Shemot, is that there's something very Garden Eden alike in the desert. God is providing everything. God is giving us the food. The food is coming down from heaven. We don't need to work. Everything is there. And there is this profound sense of nearness to God. That was true in the Garden of Eden, and that's true here in the desert. And the response to nearness of God should be an elevation within man. And instead, what we're finding is that this nearness within God, somehow, it doesn't work. It doesn't work in the Garden of Eden because we have this whole sin led on by a serpent. And it doesn't work over here because of this whole sin with the golden calf. Again, what's interesting within Rashi, again, what did Rashi do? Rashi said, the second he hears the words, I'm going to send a malach, Rashi says, uh-oh. Others said, wow, that's great. There's going to be a malach. A malach is going to be helping us. What does Rashi say? Uh-oh. Not at this point. So Rashi hears, I'm going to send a malach. Rashi knows Perek Lamed Gimel. Rashi knows how this is going to work out. And he says, oh, okay, here's a problem because here's a hint. And I'm going to say it again. I'm willing to go a little further than that. But let's take a look at the Ramban. Because we already had a hint at the Ramban. Let's take a look at what the Ramban does in source 13. And there's going to be one turn of phrase in the Ramban before we finish it that in my mind will be completely fascinating. And then we'll keep in mind this midrash that we just now saw. So Ramban is source 13. Let's take a look. Hine anochi shaleich malach lefanecha. Kan nitbasru sh'atidin luchto. Here, they were already told that they're going to sin. V'shchina omerit ki lo ala bikirbecha. And the Shechina says, I'm not going to be with you. What's the Ramban doing right now? He's quoting Rashi. Kishmi bikirbo. Because my name is in its midst. Michubar l'rosh ha-mikra, hishamer mipanav kishmi mishutaf bikirbo. V'rabotenu darshu, the rabbis taught, zem mitatron. The name of this angel which is coming is mitatron, sheshmo kishem rabo, and his name is similar to his master. Mitatron bigematria Shaddai. Mitatron is the gematria of Shaddai, which we discussed mitatron a couple months, right? Did we or we didn't? Yes. But I hear the Ramban says Lashon Rashi, till now is Rashi. I did not see this whole last part of this in Rashi, but I don't know what to say. Uve'ele shemot rabba, re'iti gam ken yesh misha deresh ken lezeh al dvar ha'egel. Right? We just now saw that midrash as well. So Rashi says it's connected to Egel, the midrash is Egel, and the Ramban questions. Okay, and he has no problem. He's questioning Chazal, the midrash, he's questioning Rashi. V'yesh l'shol sh'regzerehi lo nitkayma. He says, what are you talking about? That was canceled. How can you say that this is connected to the Egel? It was canceled. Shekodesh Baruch Hu, but by the way, that's not such a strong question. Is it? It's not such a strong question. Yeah, it's before the cancellation. The question is not an insurmountable question. Meaning, how can you say this refers to the Malach over there after the Egel? And again, that's why I'm saying, they're making the Egel. God says to Moshe what he's going to say to him afterwards. Yeah, that's it. I'm withdrawing. And he says, how can you say this? Because it was canceled. Okay, so it's canceled, but this is the first time it was said. So I don't see this as being an insurmountable question. And Moshe prayed for mercy. And God backed down from this story with the angel, and he says, okay, I won't do it, but instead I'll be in their midst. And so on and so forth. But the Ramban says, no, this is the way I think the whole thing should be understood. So here the Ramban is going to present a compromised position. It's true the angel was not sent in Moshe's day. But after Moshe dies, an angel is sent. Which means if you notice what he just now did, it was very elegant because the Ramban just now ended up combining both Rashi and the Rashbam. He doesn't want to go as far as Rashi, but he says no. It is talking about a response to the Chait. Right? It is a response to the Chait.
But it's 40 years later.
But it's 40 years later. We got a reprieve on it. V'lo tziva davar sh'niglai lav ba'avuro. Ela shemar lo shana lacham ya'araglecha. V'lo birer lama ba. And he never explains why he came. Aval hayta hamar el lahudia oto ki me'ati yemalach shaluach lefneim l'tzava bevo milchama. So he just now asked a question and gave an answer. Did he notice the question and the answer? The Malach shows up. Who are you? I'm the Malach. Never says what he's here for. Never says what he's doing. Yeah, he says I'm a Malach. I'm a general. I'm a fighter. So I'm a tzar tzava. So the Ramban was troubled, but there's no real content to what he says. No, the content is here I am. God said I'm sending. Here I am. So therefore, it's just this is the Malach that was sent all the way. Always they wouldn't. As far as I recall, no. Right. And that's why I say, okay, here I am. V'zeh shomar atah bati. Kach amru b'tanchuma, ani hu shabati b'imei Moshe rabcha, v'dacha oti, v'lo ratza she'elech imo. So it's the Medrash, now the Ramban quotes the Medrash Tanchuma, the Malach showed up, right? Meaning God says, I'm sending a Malach, so the Malach is standing there. It just makes the whole scene a little bit richer. And what does Moshe say? No thanks. We're not interested in this malach. Lech. Umefurash amru batel shelo yimsiru lem sar kol yimei Moshe. V'kevan shemet Moshe chazar oto sar limkomo shechken Yoshua eoto. Now, after Moshe's dead, the malach shows up. Shenem avihi beot Yoshua b'yirichu v'yom alo ki lo ki ani sar tzava Hashem atabati. Now I came. Now all that the Ramban has said till now has been, as far as he's concerned, pshat. Now the Ramban, as he is apt to do at times, is going to share with us what he believes to be the Kabbalistic understanding. So now we'll move over to the Kabbalistic. The Alderech Emet, that's the code always for the sometimes it says, Vahamaskil Yavin. Rav Soloveitchik said that you have to be very scared when he says a maskil yavin, because it means you're not a maskil. Okay? But derech ha'emet, ha-malach hazeh shuftacho bo bikan hu malach ha-goel. Right? This is the same malach. You want to know, we have a theory of conservation of malachs. You know, a malach can only do one mission, but it's the same mission. Meaning it's the same mission. This is the malach ha-goel, which goes back to Yaakov Avinu. Asher Hashem ha-gadol bikirbo ki v'yah Hashem tzur olamim. This is the malach that we recognize back again from Yaakov. This is the way that God interacts with this world. And the rabbis say that the name of this malach is Metatron. Vuhu shem lemora haderech. And that is the name of the malach that guides us along our path in life. V'kvar pirashti zebeseder bo el paro. I already explained this a bit back in Parshat Bo. V'nei kasher malach hazeh shochein bekerav Yisrael lo yom HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo ler bekir becha ki shmo bekir bo v'hu bekerav Yisrael. Aval kishachotu be'egel, when the Jews sinned, God wanted to remove his Shechina from their midst. And then the Shechina won't be, but somehow the Malach will go in front. Uvikesh Moshe, and Moshe requested Rachamim. And the Shechina stayed within them. And the Ramban promises us he'll explain all of this later on when we get down to Perek Lamed Gimel. Umikol makom, nonetheless, divrei hakol, according to everyone, hamidrash iskarti emetu shekol yimei Moshe lohel malach tzar tzava holechi mahim, that in Moshe's entire life there was not this angel that appears to Yoshua. Ki Moshe haya Mimalei Mekomo. And that's what's so interesting. That Moshe is the Malei Makom of who?
Of the Malach.
The Moshe... What did the Ramban just say? This is what's interesting in this. Ki Moshe Haya Mimalei Mekomo. Moshe is the one who takes his place. Kenyan Shenemar, Bahaya Kasha Yorim Moshe Yadov, Vagavar Yisrael, Vime Yoshua, Hutzrachlo, Sheyavi, Alav Malach Sartzeva, Shem Lachem Bimelchamotam, Vahu Gavriel, right, Gibar, Midat Hagvura, Hanilcham Lahem, Vizel Shur Alto, Vecherposh Lufab Yadoki Bala Asot Nikamat Bagayim Tochopilumim. Okay, you can decide that he just contradicted himself. Which Malach is this? Is it Gavriel? Is it Metatron? What in the world is going on? But again, we can forgive ourselves for not understanding everything, because that's what happens. The Ramban says, I'm explaining things, Al Derech HaEmet. But what was really interesting in this whole formulation? Let's first just take it down to break it down a little bit. As much as Rashi said that this is talking about after the Chet HaEgel, and even though the Ramban said, hold it, but that was rescinded, the Ramban didn't really back down from that, which means the Ramban at the end of the day doesn't really argue with Rashi on that point. What he really is doing much more is he's explaining that point. The Rashbam who said, no, this is the angel comes by Yeshua, the Ramban is agreeing with that point as well. Again, to make order out of this, God is in the camp. God is with the people. God takes them out. The Shechina is there in the midst of the camp. What happens when they sin? Now the Shechina gets removed, and God says, I'm going to put an angel in front. By the way, notice, in the midst of the camp, I were removed and put the angel in front to take you where you're going. Moshe Davin says, no. So God says, fine, you can take the place of the angel, and now Moshe is within the midst, which of course is a little disturbing. If you want to get disturbed before, it's a little disturbing in terms of the whole essence of what Moshe is. But Moshe is Malei Makomo. By the way, that line, if you really want, you can say that he's not Malei Makomo of the angel. You can say that he's Malei Makomo of God. Does that make you feel better? You want to read that line? Let's just read it one more time, and then... Right, again, So who's makom? So I find it much easier to say malei makom from the malach. We don't need a malach, meaning God says, I'm going to send a malach. Moshe says, don't send a malach. Fine, you don't want a malach, so you'll be the malach. I want to send a malach, so you'll be the malach. Michael would be more of, excuse me? Gavriel is going to war. Gvura, midat ha-gvura. Think almost the difference between midat ha-rachma and midat ha-din. By the Kriyat Shema Hamita, which you say with your children every night, which angel's on which side? You have the four angels. Which side is it? Midat ha-rachamim and midat ha-din. Right side and left side.
Or then we'll call it Gavriel.
Okay. Okay. So, I just want to focus on this last point, which still intrigues me, and that's this point about Moshe taking the place of the angel, which took the place of the Shekhinah, meaning the Shekhinah is in the midst of the people. Shekhinah gets removed. God, I'm going to put an angel. Moshe is the angel. Go. Sends him away. Moshe now gets the job of being the angel, and the angel's going to come back after Moshe's no longer here, which right is somewhat convoluted. But the whole starting point was the Shekhinah was supposed to be in our midst. Now, when all of this was being said back in Perek Lamed Gimel, right, God says, I'm going to send an angel, and people, what's the response of the people? That's what's interesting. Pshat, what's the response of the people? It says they remove their... the jewelry. And then God says, and get rid of your jewelry. They just got rid of the jewelry. What are they getting rid of? I mean, it just said it. So it says, get rid of the jewelry. They just got rid of the jewelry. Get rid of the jewelry. They get rid of the jewelry. And they, okay, good. So let's take a look at the Gemara, which reads into it the way that you're remembering it. And that's at source 14. Darash Rav Sima'i, Bishoshik Dima Yisrael, Nasil Anishma Bo Shishim Ribo Shomalachei Asharet, When the Jews, source 14, when the Jews said Na'aseh before Nishma, then these 600,000 angels came down and they gave the Jews two crowns. Echad keneged Na'aseh ve'echad keneged Nishma. V'kevan shechatu Yisrael, and when the Jews sinned, Yerdumeya ve'esrim ribo malachei chabala upirkum. Then 120,000 destructive angels came, and they took them off. Shenemar, and that's what it says. Ve'yitnatzlu b'nei Yisrael et edya mehar choreth. They got rid of the jewelry they had from choreth. I pointed out in the past, ve'yitnatzlu is used another time in Sefer Shemot. In which context? That's what it talks about. Ve'yitnatzlu Mitzrayim, when they took all of this stuff. They took all of the jewelry. But over here, it's reading it in terms of a spiritual content. They got these crowns, as it were, at Sinai, and they lost them at Sinai. B'chorev ta'anu dichtiv, b'chorev parku dichtiv. V'natzlu b'nei Yisrael v'gomer. Amarav Yochanan, v'kulan zocha Moshe Unitalan, and Moshe took all of the crowns. The Samichleis, it says in the same area, Umoshe kafeta ohel, Amoresh Lakish va'atida Kadosh Baruch Hu lahachziran lanu, and one day God will return it to Shenemar, ufdui Hashem yashuv, umuvot siyum berino, v'simchat olam al rosham. And the Ein Yaakov continues, sasu v'simcha yasigu v'nasi yugon v'anacha. Simcha shemei olam al rosham. Rashi explains, so far, the Jews got a spiritual enlightenment at Sinai, but they lost it when they made the Chayta Egel. And what happened to this enlightenment? What does it say? V'kulon zocha Moshe unatlan. Didn't disappear. Okay, now we have a theory of conservation of spirituality. God's in the camp. All the people have the Shekhinah. All the people have the crowns. The crowns then disappear, but Moshe takes it. And look at Rashi here, source 15, Rashi on the Gemara, Uta'anu haktarim, v'achimashma et edyam, asher hayu lehem me'achorev, v'chorev perku, d'mashma nami v'netzlu et edyam me'achorev. U'moshe yikach oto edai, and Moshe took all the crowns, loshon acher et ha'oel, loshon bihilu Neru. Rashi is quoting here from Eov, which you can look at source number 16. V'hu haya kiran or panav. That's the light that Moshe had when Moshe came down. Which means, what is Rashi explaining or understanding in the Gemara that you have God in the midst of the Jewish people, and everybody has this glow about them, and that's the crowns. The crowns is a glow. The nearness to the Shekhinah. And if you look at the pasuk in Eov, quote, Mi yitnenu ki yarche kedem ki mei elokai yashmirenu bihilu neiro alai roshi la'oro elei choshech kasher hayiti bimei chorpi besod eloka alai ohali, which is why Rashi thinks it's so appropriate, ba'od shaddai imadi, which is, the Ramban would be very happy with that quoted as well, sivivotai na'orai, that this whole essence of God, Shaddai, is with me. But again, what did the Gemara say? Just to follow the Gemara through. The Gemara said that this glow of the Shekhinah is with the entire people. The people lose it with the Chet Egel. God is willing to withdraw from the community. Moshe holds on and says no. So what then are we saying? The Ramban said that Moshe now takes the place of the Malach, who was supposed to take the place of the Shekhinah. Are we making sense right now? The Moshe takes the place of the Malach, who's supposed to take place of the Shekhinah, and now we realize that no, there's a Gemara that almost says the exact same thing, especially with the Rashi explains it, and that's the glow, which is in Moshe. What is this glow that he has? It's the glow of the whole collective people of the Shekhinah that was supposed to be with them, is now with Moshe. So Moshe takes the place of the glow within the people, which really is what this Malach is really all about. I just want to follow this through, maybe in a strange way. There's a teaching of the Beit HaLevi. I gave a shiur on this on Sunday. If anybody wants to hear it, it's recorded. It's already up. There's a teaching of the Beit HaLevi that talks about the glow that Moshe had, and just fill in a couple of pieces. The glow that Moshe had is when he came down the second time. That's in source number 17. But Yehi read that Moshe may har Sinai shnei luchot edut b'yad Moshe. This is Perek Lamed Dalet after the Chet Egel. Umoshe lo yada ki karen or panav b'debroito. It's the second time he gets this glow. The Beit HaLevi gives this whole explanation that the first time Moshe's job was to bring the Torah, Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebalpeh and everything else, bring it to the people and just be somebody who is an emissary, a shliach, who brings it. But the second time Moshe needs to learn it. That Beit HaLevi understands it's based on a passage in the Zohar that the first Luchot had everything written in them, including Torah Shebalpeh. So the Midrash, in a couple of places, asks, where did Moshe get the glow from? And one of the answers is the leftover ink in his quill. What quill? What ink? What are you talking about? It's a chisel and a hammer. What ink? Says no. That Moshe wanted to write on the luchot everything which was on the first luchot, and God didn't let him write this. But that's on him, because now Moshe the second time has to be taught all of Torah Shebal Peh, which he then brings down to the people. That's more or less this idea. Which
the idea that Torah Shebal
Peh becomes part of the human personality. So Moshe now becomes this part. Now Moshe's title, well, let's take a look. When Moshe dies, in source 18, the Gemara says, Tani Rabbi Lezer HaGadol Omer, Shnei Masamil, Kenegin Machne Yisrael HaYabatko Mashmiya VaOmer, that the entire camp, right, all the people, they all hear the following Batko come out. Vayamat Moshe died, Safra Rabba Yisrael. The great scribe of Israel. And who is, at the moment of death, who is Moshe? Moshe is the great scribe. Which is interesting. Again, Moshe writes the quill. Moshe writes the Torah. He gives the people the Torah. But that's what it calls him. Safra Rabba, the great scribe. So is anybody else called the great scribe? So take a look. Not the great scribe. Ezra Sofer. Source number 19 tells us the following. That Chanoch, who was Chanoch? Back in Bereshit, who was Chanoch? He's the one that goes up. So Targum Yonatan, or Pseudo Yonatan, which I see that Bar Ilan now improved their text, now they call it Targum HaMiyuchas LeYonatan. They used to call it Targum Yonatan. So I'm going to read the Aramaic and then we'll read the Hebrew. The Aramaic says, the Aramaic says, Uflach Chanoch Bikushta Kedum Hashem Ve'avod Chanach Bemet Lefnei Hashem V'hod Le'toy V'huenenu Im Dairi Ara Im Toshvei Haaretz Arum, because Ki Itnagid V'salak L'Rakia Nilkach V'alal L'Rakia B'meimar Kedum Hashem B'amaret Lefnei Hashem Ukrash me, and what does the name become? Metatron Safra Rabba. He becomes Metatron, the great sofer. Those of you who remember the Gemara in Chagiga that talks about Elisha ben Avuya going up, and he sees Metatron writing all the deeds of Israel. He's the writer. He's the one who's in charge of writing down the deeds. He's called the Safra Rabba. This is, in a certain sense, again, just you'll have to read through the Ramban again to really appreciate what I'm saying, is that the Metatron becomes this, I don't want to say intermediary, it's this idea of the will of God manifesting itself on earth, even though God itself is beyond what we understand and somewhat removed. But it's very interesting that Metatron is a person who becomes a malach, according to this. Just say that again. It's a person who becomes a malach, and his job is to be the Safra Rabba. And Moshe's job, now we all appreciate, is halfway malach, a third malach, two quarters malach. You could decide how much malach Moshe is, but it's interesting, it's the same role, it's the Safra Rabba. So therefore, by the very beginning, you say, no, this is, Metatron's supposed to take Moshe's place, Moshe takes Metatron's place. But this connection between Moshe and Metatron, which again, this idea of Shaddai, if you will, is, right, the Ramban told us that's the same gematria, Metatron and Shaddai, and this is the manifestation, is far more interesting than we realized initially. And again, I'm going to say the same thing. What ends up happening over here? It happens as follows. Okay, I'm going to put the whole thing together, and I'm being unfair by reading the Ramban, who disagrees with what I'm saying partially, and reading it back in. Moshe is up on Har Sinai. What is Moshe learning in Har Sinai? So we're following Rashi. What is Moshe learning? He's learning Nezikin. He's learning Parashat Mishpatim. He's learning Perikaf Aleph and Kaf Bed and Kaf Gimel. Halfway through Kaf Gimel, something changes. God stops talking about law as such, and says, I'm going to send my malach, and starts talking about the future, and starts talking about entering the land, and starts talking conquering the land. And all of this is a little strange. By the way, the way that he got there was via the holidays, because the holidays are agricultural. So he gets to, again, if I go to the Seret HaDibrot, I have Shabbat, and now I have the Chagim. He gets the holidays, and he mentions some of the agriculture, right? In terms of what we call Shavuot and what we call Sukkot, but he calls them by the agricultural names, already pointing towards the future, towards the lands of Israel. So that became the moment that the shift took place. Starts talking about entering the land, and starts talking about this malach. Rashi correctly notices, I'm going to say correctly, give points here. Rashi notices that the malach will be mentioned right after the Chet Ha'Egel, and the people are going to take it very, very harshly because of the second half of the verse. My malach will be there, and not me. And that is absolutely devastating. The malach will walk in front. Why? Because I have a promise to keep. That's what Moshe really complained to God. You made a promise. What's the promise? You said that you're going to give the land of Israel to the descendants of Amitav Yaakov. So God says, fine. I'll put a malach in front and lead them in, but I'm not in the camp. I'm not in their midst. And that's the removal of the crowns. At Har Sinai, they got the crowns. Now the Midrash said, I wanted to make you like all of you. I wanted to make you all like Malachim. I wanted to make you all that you're going to all live forever. I wanted to change this completely, but you didn't live up to it. So you didn't live up to it. So again, who then takes the, so what happens is God says, I'm going to put a malach here. And Moshe says, absolutely not. So God says, fine, I won't put a malach here. But what happened to the whole spiritual level? So what are we saying? That the spiritual level gets transferred to Moshe. Now, you want to say it in a more basic way? So now Moshe's job is to teach Torah Shabbat Peh. He's there in, not just to hand it over, to teach it and to inspire people and to uplift people. That's one way of looking at it. The mystical way of looking at it is in terms of the metaphor of the crowns. That Moshe now has all the crowns of all the people, it's on him. And that's what Rashi's saying, is this glow that Moshe has. But what did Rav Yochanan say in the Gemara? It's not permanent. What did Rav Yochanan say? That in the future, that's going to be returned to Am Yisrael. That the future is that we're going to get back to the level, now you fill in the blank, from that Midrash that Charlotte found so difficult before. fill in the blank. That why is it so important for God to tell us his perspective? You say, but look at humans, look what we're like. Why is it so important? Because God is saying, because that's the future. That's the future. The future, I mean, I'm putting in front of you where we're supposed to end up. Did it work out that way in the Garden of Eden? No, it didn't work out that way. So what happened? That you got kicked out. You were supposed to be like angels, you got kicked out. What happens when we stand by Sinai? We're supposed to be like angels. Did it work out? It didn't work out. But God is saying, I'm not letting go. So I'm going to put an angel in front. And Moshe says, no. So God says, fine. Moshe, you'll take the, that's the words of the Ramban. You'll be the Malei Makom, literally the words of the Ramban, you'll be the Malei Makom of the angel. Okay? But this angelic side of Moshe, which again, according to Rashi, that's the glow and so on, this angelic side of Moshe, which really is Moshe representing all of Am Yisrael lost this, but I guess we have now a theory of conservation of spirituality. Am Yisrael lost the spirituality, but it just got shifted to Moshe on a temporary level. But what did the Gemara say? What does Yochanan say? Am Yisrael is getting it back. It's going to be returned to Am Yisrael, and therefore basically the job of Moshe is to teach and to inspire and to uplift, and that's the role of the Jews within the world. And as we do that, we get the crowns back, we get the spirituality back, and we end up becoming uplifted to becoming something, transformed into something, which again, we have a lack of words or language right now, but that's very close to what we call an angel, to become an emissary of God on this world. Am Yisrael weren't willing at that moment, said it will happen in the future. Rashi heard something very negative, and I'm going to say it again because I already said it four times. I think that's the very moment. That moment is when they started to make the eagle down below. At that moment up in heaven, God says, I'm going to send an angel. And it could be that Moshe at that moment doesn't understand exactly what the implication of this, because the second half of the verse isn't there, instead of me. That he says down below, afterwards, I'm going to send the angel instead of me. At that point, we realize exactly what this means. Bezrat Hashem, we'll all find our angelic side. Get our crowns back.